Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Well, as a preacher, I was quite pleased that we had an agricultural reading this morning, because when we were in Kenya, yes, we spent a lot of time in the informal settlements in Nairobi, but we also spent a lot of time deep in the rural parts of Nakuru and Baringo. Nakuru and Baringo are northwest of Nairobi. When we went to Baringo, the leader of the group, the Reverend Canon Ian Hutchinson Cervantes, sat us all down and said to us, "Well, I need to tell you that you need to be prepared, because it is traditional in Baringo that the Kalenjin people, when greeting guests, will give you a concoction, a mixture of sour milk. Milk that's been left to age. And it's a great delicacy. And you cannot refuse it. It will be considered a great offense if you do not drink it." So we all dutifully piled into the minibus, preparing ourselves for this wonderful delight. Anyway, we eventually got to Baringo, which was quite a drive from Nakuru. It was at least 2 hours drive from Nakuru. And on the most incredibly horrendous roads, bouncing up and down in the minibus that had absolutely no suspension whatsoever. And dutifully got out at the bishop's house, awaiting our drink. So we were welcomed warmly, as in every community in Kenya, we were always welcomed warmly. We were invited in the traditional way, as another tradition in Kenya, to take tea. You always take tea when you arrive. It's a great custom, excepting the tea is pure milk. It's milk with a tea bag. The tea bag makes the tea. There's no hot water involved. So it's quite rich, especially early in the morning. So we had dutifully had the tea, because we know we have to have the tea, and then we were thinking, oh gosh, we're going to have sour milk on top of this. It's quite... Now the bishop, he is the bishop-to-be, well, he's been made a bishop, but Baringo Diocese will only come into existence in January, was there, and he is a remarkable man, and one of the incredible Christian saints of Kenya that we met. Man with incredible charisma and faith and just power about him. In the way of the Kalenjin people are a very proud tribe, very, you know, very solid people. And he obviously had a twinkle in his eye. And suddenly, as we were sitting in this sort of dining room of the bishop's house, these men appeared, and we were kind of wondering what kind of custom this meant, what we were in for. And each of them had one of these, which they unwrapped immediately and threw around each of us as a welcome. And this is a Maasai shuka. And the Kalenjin also wear it as well. Other tribes in Kenya do wear it as well. They come in bright colors. Have you got the picture, Sean? You can see the bishop with his scarlet shirt on the right, but you can see all of us dressed in, we were each given a shuka. You can see mine, the green one there. Traditionally, as you can see, women wear it round the shoulders, and men wear it across the shoulder. And, it was a remarkable welcome. We were all so relieved that we didn't get the sour milk. You can almost see the relief in the photograph. But it was incredibly clever of the bishop to give us these, because it very much gives a sense of the people of his potential diocese and the people of rural Kenya. And not only rural Kenya, but in remote parts of Africa. Now, we've had this reading today about the shepherd and the sheep. And the shuka is worn by the herdsman. It's a blanket that keeps them warm. It's protection. In Africa, as you can see in that picture, the herdsman walks behind the herd. And we've heard this, Jesus giving the traditional Israel version of a shepherd. The shepherd walks out in front. Now, neither way is right or wrong. The shepherd who walks behind, as in Africa, leads the flock from behind, guides the flock from behind. The shepherd, as in Israel, obviously leads the flock from the front. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole thing about leadership on shepherds and all that kind of thing. But I think for me, one of the amazing things, especially about going into rural Kenya, was getting back to the very essence of Jesus' teaching in rural communities. The very essence of how Jesus' teaching is so relevant in the context, those contexts of shepherds and sheep. Mainly in Africa, it's goats and cattle, but. And how, as Christians, those parables, and like the parable that we've heard this morning, are so important and powerful because they speak to something deep within us. Now, I'm sure in our Crawley Down community, there are some places still where there are sheep. And in the past, it was a rural community. There were probably a lot of places where there are sheep. But even if we are separate from that, we can still connect with that idea of the shepherd and the sheep. And what that calls us to be as Christians. Now, there will be some who will say, being the shepherd is my job, and Jill's job, and Liz's job with the church wardens. But that's not entirely the picture. That's just one aspect of it. We are called to be nurturing shepherds of all those around us as Christians, wherever we are. And the other thing that I found so inspiring is that in the deepest and remotest parts of Kenya, the gospel is being preached, and people are coming to faith, and the church is alive and well. And as we, I went to different churches on different Sundays. But it was amazing to me that I could be in Kenya on a Sunday morning, worshiping in a certain place, and you were here, worshiping here. And we were all part of the church of Christ, Christ's flock, the sheep with the shepherd. And also, what was really inspiring was meeting some of the theological students that the diocese have been sponsoring. Theological students from Sudan. Hello. From Baringo, from Uganda, who are coming to the end of their course, but who spoke powerfully about being sponsored by this diocese, because they would not have had the opportunity to study otherwise. And knowing that it was from collections made for the harvest appeal here in Chichester Diocese, in churches like ours, that priests are being sent and trained in the remotest parts of Africa. The remotest and most challenging parts of Africa. So when we're talking about shepherds and all of that, and if we are taking ordination and all of that, not only related to ordination, but lay ministry as well, that we are able to send ministry into places in Africa that are remote is a powerful testimony. So, I leave you with my impressions. And I have my shuka in my study as a reminder. Also as a reminder of the relief that we didn't have to drink sour milk. And the good thing about it is that it's green, so it's ordinary time. Matches the stall. But the great thing is no matter where we are in the world, we follow Jesus Christ. We bear the name of Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen.